This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
True crime, unsolved cases, strange disappearances. Join me as we travel through the timeline of some of the darkest acts in human history. I'm your host, Kevin Eustace, and welcome to the third season of The Deadly Countdown. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the third season of The Deadly Countdown, Episode 3. And today, we're going to be taking a look at a man who is really quite the enigma. In fact, when you finished this episode, I think you'll agree with me, enigma probably doesn't cut the mustard when we're talking about Roberto Calvi. Last week, of course, we looked at the death of Dr. David Kelly. And I want to thank you for all the comments regarding that episode. It was a really interesting case to look into, and an absolutely harrowing one when you look how that man suffered and possibly died at the hands of his own government. Today's case doesn't really share that many similarities. For example, David Kelly was a doctor, a renowned scientist. Roberto Calvi was a renowned banker. He was a man of finance, and he was a man who had his fingers in more pies than your average baker. The one thing in common they do share is at the inquest of their death, both initially were declared a suicide. But before we take a deep dive into the life of Roberto Calvi, I'd like to give a quick mention of our Patreon campaign. If you head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown, you will receive these episodes both ad-free and before everyone else. And not only that, but once a fortnight, we release a Patreon-only show, Cold Case. On Cold Case, as the title suggests, we take a look at some of the most famous unsolved cases from around the world throughout history. Recent episodes have taken a look at the Dilatov Pass incident, the Jim Sullivan disappearance, and the death of Natalie Wood. And previous cases we've looked at are some classics like the Black Dahlia or D.B. Cooper. Either way, we're building a lovely back catalogue of episodes for our Patreons to go and enjoy. So, if you like the sound of early ad-free access to all of our episodes, and of course, access to our Patreon-only show, Cold Case, plus the entire back catalogue, head over to patreon.com/thedeadlycountdown. But right now, let's take a look at a man whose death was as mysterious as it was horrific. For Roberto Calvi, let's start the clock. Today, we're going to unravel the enigmatic story of Roberto Calvi, a case that continues to baffle investigators and intrigue conspiracy theorists. His life was a blend of financial mastery and shadowy connections, leading to his mysterious death under London's Blackfriars Bridge on June the 18th, 1982. Let's dive into this world of high finance, secret societies, unsolved mysteries, and the life and death of a man apparently so influential he earned himself the nickname God's Banker. Roberto Calvi wasn't your average banker, counting coins behind a counter. Born in Milan in 1920, Calvi navigated the labyrinth world of Italian finance with a shrewd mind and an ambition that propelled him to the very top. He meticulously climbed the hierarchical ladder within the Italian banking system, eventually finding himself perched atop a particularly prestigious institution, Banco Ambrosiano. Established in the late 19th century, Banco Ambrosiano wasn't just another bank. It was a titan, a colossus, one that demanded financial respect and influence. But Calvi wasn't content with merely leading a prominent Italian bank. He possessed a keen eye for opportunity, and he saw a chance to elevate his position even further. This opportunity came knocking in the form of the Vatican Bank, the financial institution that served the Holy See. Calvi cultivated a close relationship with its representatives, eventually becoming entrusted with managing a significant portion of the Vatican's vast wealth. This wasn't just a plum assignment, it was a game changer. Newspapers across Italy christened him God's Banker, a moniker that perfectly captured the immense power and influence that Calvi now wielded. He wasn't just managing money, he was essentially the financial steward of the Catholic Church, a position that granted him access to the inner sanctum of the Vatican, and a level of influence that most financiers could only dream of. However, whispers soon began to swirl around Calvi's meteoric rise. The nature of the Vatican's finances was always shrouded in secrecy, and his dealings with the Holy See fueled speculation about the true nature of his operations. Was he simply a shrewd businessman? Or was there something more nefarious at play? This ambiguity would become a defining characteristic of Calvi's career, and ultimately, his life. Talk about high-stakes finance. You've got to wonder what kind of secrets Calvi was privy to. He wasn't just managing the Pope's penny collection. He was integrated with the Vatican Bank, or the IOR, the Institute for Works of Religion. Now, when you've got the nickname God's Banker, you're either doing something very right, something very questionable, or something a little more interesting. On the surface, Calvi led a truly charmed life. As chairman of Banco Ambrosiano and the financial confidant of the Vatican, he exuded an aura of power that very few could match. Calvi's ascent to the zenith of Italian banking was marred by a series of controversial relationships and dealings that cast long shadows, and the cracks in Calvi's empire were beginning to appear. Amongst the most alarming were his alleged ties to the Italian mafia and a clandestine Masonic lodge known as Propaganda Jew, or P2. These associations suggest a labyrinth of financial and political machinations far beyond the remit of legitimate banking activities, painting a picture of a man who may have been as much a puppet as he was a puppeteer in the theatre of global finance. Okay, Freemasons and the Mafia? I mean, At least the Freemasons have an apparently clean business shop window. Despite the depictions and reports of, well, less than clean operations now and again, but the Mafia. There's no bow tie that you can put on that. There's no claims of, oh, I thought they were okay. If you're shaking hands in that arena, you are fully aware of what you're doing. Calvi's alleged connections to the Italian Mafia, specifically the Sicilian Cosa Nostra, was said to revolve around the complex and murky world of money laundering and offshore financing. The Mafia, with its extensive criminal network and need for money laundering services to look legit for its ill-gotten gains, reportedly found a willing partner in Calvi and the Banco Ambrosiano. Through a series of shell companies and offshore banks, notably in Latin America and the Caribbean, Calvi is accused of funneling vast sums of the Mafia's money, effectively laundering it through the guise of legitimate business transactions. The relationship was mutually beneficial, but also perilously fraught. For Calvi, Mafia connections offered an influx of capital and a darkly powerful network of influence and protection. For the Mafia, Calvi's banking empire provided a sophisticated means to cleanse their tainted wealth and invest it in legal enterprises. However, this alliance with the underworld, quel surprise, exposed Calvi to immense risk, entangling him in a web where there would be no easy escape. It's speculated that as pressures mounted and legal scrutiny intensified, Calvi's use to the Mafia dwindled, transforming him from an asset to a liability. And of all the things in life you want to be, a liability to the Cosa Nostra is probably not one of them. Calvi's involvement with Propaganda Jew, P2, the Masonic Lodge, represents one of the most enigmatic chapters in this whole complex narrative, hinting at a clandestine world where the lines between legitimate governance, covert operations, and outright criminality blur. P2 was not merely a fraternal association dedicated to mutual support and charitable works, as many Masonic organizations purport to be. Instead, it emerged as a formidable and sinister force, weaving a web of influence that extended deep into the heart of Italy's power structures and beyond. Under the leadership of Licio Gelli, a man whose charisma and connections belied his insidious intentions, P2 evolved into a covert nexus of power brokers. Gelli's vision for P2 was of a secret government, influencing policy and decision-making from the shadows. Membership to P2 was by invitation only, extended to those in positions of power or with significant influence. This exclusive roster included high-ranking officials in the Italian government, leading business figures, military officers, and even members of the intelligence community. Oh, and Roberto Calvi. The Lodge's reach into these sectors allowed it to manipulate political, financial, and military strategies to suit its agenda. Allegations of P2's involvement in various scandals and conspiracies were not just rumors. They were revelations that exposed the deep-seated corruption and manipulation at play within Italy's corridors of power. P2's ambitions extended beyond mere influence. they wanted to reshape Italy's political landscape in its own image. Even if it meant destabilizing the government or manipulating the financial markets for its gain. Calvi's association with P2 and Licio Gelli was a pivotal factor in his ascent to power, but also played a key role in his own downfall. His position at the helm of Banco Ambrosiano provided the perfect vehicle for P2's financial machinations. Through Calvi, P2 could funnel money into covert operations, support sympathetic political causes, and extend its influence even further. However, this partnership would come with high stakes. The bank's entanglement in illicit financial activities, under the guidance and for the benefit of P2, exposed Calvi to immense risk.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Lodge's modus operandi involved not just the pursuit of power for its own sake, but the creation of a state within a state, answerable to no one but its own inner circle. Calvi, by virtue of his financial acumen and his pivotal role in this arrangement, found himself at the mercy of forces that would not hesitate to sacrifice him should the need arise. Of course, Calvi's membership to P2 allowed him to get in with the who's who of the Italian elite, offering unparalleled opportunities for networking and influence, and for Calvi, protection, but at a price. Calvi's membership in P2 is believed to have provided him with protection. However, it also ensnared him in the Lodge's ambitious and often nefarious agenda. Through P2, Calvi's financial operations now extended beyond mere banking malpractice and were touching on political espionage, illegal financing to political parties, and even attempts to control the media. The Lodge's reach was ruthless, and it meant that Calvi's fortunes were now inextricably linked with the success of P2's shadowy objectives. So, the Mafia know of P2. P2 obviously know of the Cosa Nostra. And just as the P2 knew of the ruthless legends of Sicilian crime, the Cosa Nostra knew the reach of the P2. Was Calvi such a liability to the Mafia that they would make the decision to break a few eggs to make the proverbial omelette? The intersection of Calvi's Mafia and P2 connections created a potent mix of danger and influence, which did propel him to the height of power, while simultaneously sowed his seeds for his own demise. And in 1982, the house of cards that Calvi had built came crashing down around him. Banco Ambrosiano became embroiled in a massive financial scandal. Billions of dollars had vanished, and Calvi found himself facing accusations of fraud and embezzlement. As the investigations into Banco Ambrosiano's collapse deepened, the intricate network of shell companies, illicit transactions, and political manipulations began to unravel. It became increasingly clear that Calvi was operating at the nexus of a vast and complex web of financial and political intrigue, one that spanned continents and implicated some of the most powerful figures in Italian society. These dark associations paint a picture of Calvi as a man who ventured too far into the shadows, entangling himself in alliances that promised unrivaled power, but also posed grave risk. With the bank now on the verge of collapse, P2 distanced themselves as much as they possibly could from Calvi, and so he fled from Italy to London. My internal nerve system, cannot fathom what Calvi must have been going through around this time. Because when I was in a job, for example, if my boss told me they wanted a word after work, my nerves would be through the roof, I'd be borderline fainting. And here's Calvi. The authorities, the mafia, and a potentially shady group of Freemasons all having their sights set on him. At least my boss wasn't armed, as far as I know. So it looks like the jig's up. But why run to London? Was he seeking sanctuary? Or was there something else going on? Another shadowy connection, maybe? For God's banker? It's dawn, June the 18th, 1982. The River Thames was a dull grey as it snaked through the heart of London. A routine morning walk for a postal worker named Robert Winthrop took a horrifying turn as he crossed the now infamous Blackfriars Bridge, a neo-Gothic structure spanning the murky waters of the Thames. Winthrop, a man used to the hustle and bustle of the morning city, noticed something really unsettling. It appeared to be a body dangling from the scaffolding beneath the bridge. But surely not. Getting to that place seemed nigh on impossible. As he drew closer, a wave of nausea washed over him. It was indeed a body. A man's body, clad in a well-tailored suit, and its pockets seemingly bulging out. Weighing the body down with what turned out to be bricks. Winthrop, his heart hammering in his chest, contacted the authorities. The lifeless figure was very quickly identified as Roberto Calvi, God's banker, who had vanished from Italy weeks before. The news spread like wildfire, igniting a frenzy of speculation. Suicide seemed the most obvious explanation. A desperate act by a desperate man facing financial ruin and several death threats. But something about the scene seemed off. A dissonance that resonated with the most seasoned of investigators. The bricks in his pockets, meant to ensure a swift demise by hanging, were placed oddly, as if by someone who didn't know exactly how they were meant to place them. Furthermore, Calvi, known for his flamboyant suits, was dressed in a simple, almost austere outfit, a stark contrast to his usual sartorial choices. To everyone attending, the scene reeked of a staged suicide, a desperate attempt to mask a more sinister reality. The investigation that followed was a labyrinth journey, riddled with dead ends and conflicting theories. The once powerful God's banker now lay silent, his secrets dangling alongside his body from the cold steel of the bridge. Initially, the British authorities would rule Calvi's death a suicide. However, inconsistencies began to emerge. The very nature of the evidence, the placement of the bricks, the several thousands of pounds in three different currencies stuffed in various pockets. It all suggested a level of premeditation and staging inconsistent with a spontaneous act of self-harm. Critics of the suicide theory pointed to the complexity of Calvi's entanglement with the Vatican, the Mafia, and P2. Each of these affiliations would provide potential motives for murder, ranging from silencing him to prevent the exposure of financial scandal, to maybe retribution for perceived betrayal. Or maybe he learned a secret he shouldn't from a religious organization, and they simply wanted to ensure it was never heard. One thing is for sure, each pie that Calvi had his finger in had the power to rip it out at the joint. Doubts grew, and a second inquest was held in 1983. This time, an open verdict was issued, meaning they couldn't come to a definitive conclusion. But Calvi's family were insistent that this was a case of murder, not suicide, murder. And they tirelessly fought for answers as the years passed. Unfortunately, as the years passed, the trail grew cold. Until finally, a 2002 forensics report, following a previous exhumation of Calvi's body, gave enough evidence for the verdict to finally change to murder. All well and good, but 20 years on, exactly who are we looking for here? Who are the suspects? Sure, theories abound, and we'll take a look at the most likely one shortly. But actual physical human beings? Who could you potentially have to serve justice to? Where would you begin to look? Well, in 2005, magistrate in Rome held a trial in a fortified courtroom, which should tell you in itself the level we're dealing with here. And they attempted to charge five men with the murder of Roberto Calvi. However, Judge Mario Lucio D'Andrea decided there was not sufficient evidence to press charges, and all five were released without further action. The judge did, however, reiterate that this indeed was a case of murder and not suicide. The defense declared a number of organizations all had reasons to hit Calvi, from the Mafia to the Vatican. And it wasn't just those involved in the legal affairs who had that same opinion. Some believed the Mafia silenced him to protect their investments. Others suspected the Vatican, fearing he would expose some financial impropriety, or something worse. Freemasonry involvement was also a popular theory, and it's this theory I believe to be the most plausible, and the one we'll now focus on. Fueled by the symbolism of his death location under a bridge, potentially a Freemason ritual reference, Blackfriars Bridge, spanning the Thames, serves as more than just a physical landmark. It's a symbol shrouded in history and mystery, making its selection as the stage for Calvi's final act all the more intriguing. The name Blackfriars itself is steeped in historical significance, tracing back to the Dominican priory that once stood nearby, whose members wore black mantles. This connection to a religious order, juxtaposed with Calvi's moniker God's Banker and his deep ties to the Vatican and the secretive world of Masonic lodges, layers the scene with almost theatrical symbolism. In Masonic tradition, bridges are loaded with allegorical meaning, often representing passages or transitions from one state of being to another, symbolizing initiation, transformation, or even passage into the afterlife. The choice of Blackfriars Bridge for Calvi's death thereby invites interpretations that see it as a deliberate symbolic gesture, a message or warning encoded in the very geography of his demise. The theory that Calvi's death might have been a Masonic ritual killing draws on several elements. Firstly, his involvement with P2, a Masonic lodge known for its secrecy and the power it wielded across the socio-political landscape of Italy. It places him within the sphere of groups that understood and perhaps practiced such symbolism. The ritualistic element speculated to be present in his death, the manner of his hanging, the items found with his body, and notably the location itself, all suggest a punishment or message encoded in the language of symbols, understandable only to those initiated. Secondly, the presence of bricks and Calvi's own belongings stuffed into his clothing has been interpreted by some as a form of Masonic signalling. In Masonic rites, certain objects are used symbolically to convey messages or signify particular states of being. The use of such items in the context of Calvi's death could be seen as emblematic, a way of signifying his betrayal or transgressions against the codes and loyalties that governed his secret affiliations. To this day, the hanging of God's banker remains one of history's most perplexing unsolved murders. The lack of closure in this case is almost as troubling as the crime itself. Roberto Calvi died with untold tales. Now, whether his death was born out of mafia vengeance, Vatican protectionism, an outraged group of high-powered Masons, or something else altogether, we may never truly know. His secrets literally died with him. And that's what makes these historical cases so chilling. The mystery becomes its own beast. We're drawn into the speculation, the unanswered questions, years and decades later. Who knows? Maybe sometime a key piece of evidence will turn up, and we might just catch a glimpse of a truth that's been hiding in plain sight. But, and forgive the awful pun, I wouldn't bank on it. So thank you for joining me this time on The Deadly Countdown. I can't wait to see you next week for episode 4, and until then, take care. But for now, for Roberto Calvi, let's stop the clock.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.